Sukkot. I thought for us to prepare for Sukkot and to appreciate, to treasure these special moments, it would be worthwhile to review a couple of lessons from Bornstein and the Shem Yishmuel. And hopefully this will inspire us to really enter into the holiness of the days. So the first one is from 1916. As we've learned before, in 1916, Rav Bornstein was caught in the middle of World War I. He was actually separated from his family, because when World War I started, he was in Germany in vacation, and then he was a Russian citizen. Then Germany declared war on Russia. So he was, 1916, he was separated from his family, and even so, we'll see that you can't tell any of that in his Torahs are filled with joy and love of Hashem because of the Yom Tov. Really something very, very exceptional. So Shmas Tafresh Ayin Vav. Ksiv, it says in Hosea, V'anochi tirgalti le'Ephraim kachem al zo'osai. God says, I've done so much for the Jewish people. I've carried the Jewish people, or I will carry the Jewish people, on my arms, on my shoulders. So Rashi explains, Mashallah mahalech baderech uvno mahalech lefanav. God's relationship to the Jewish people is like someone who's walking down the path and his son walking in front of him. Ba'u listim lishboto, robbers come to try to take him captive. Natlo milefanav unesano la'acharav. So he grabs his son from in front of him and puts his son behind him. The robbers are coming in front, so he puts his son behind him. But then he sees that there are wolves coming behind him. So then he takes the son, he puts him in front of him. But there are robbers in front, and there are wolves in the back. So what does the father do? The father takes the son, puts him on his shoulder, puts him on his arm, and with the other arm he fights against the enemies. Kach, that's what God did for us. V'anochi tirgalti le'Ephraim, kachem al zro'osav. God saw that we were attacked from the front, attacked from the back, so God picked us up, put us on his shoulders, held us, and fought with all of our enemies. That's the beautiful pasuk. Says the Shem Yishmuel something amazing. V'nireh, shezeh ha'inyin b'bali tshuva. This is what happens to someone who does tshuva. Someone who does tshuva is really a survivor. It's a survivor in a war. Except that the enemies in the war are not, they don't have guns, they don't have tanks, they don't have planes. It's the war within myself. It's the war with my evil urge. Let's think for a second. So many commentators say this. When Yaakov, the night before, he meets Esav, he's alone on the other side of the river. Vayeavek ish imo. And a person struggles and wrestles with him. Who's that person? That person is himself. He's fighting with the Esav that's in him. He's fighting with the evil urge. We're in a war. We're in a war against our evil urge. And the Baal Tshuva is someone who's been captured. Maybe he's been tortured. He's lost. He's committed sins. The evil urge has conquered him. The evil urge has tortured him. And then he does Tshuva. He gets out of jail. He's freed from captivity. He returns back out of the war. He's a survivor. And what happens to the Baal Tshuva? Our sages say, Makom Shebali Tshuva Omdin, where the Baal Tshuva stands, Afilu tzadikin gemurim einam yecholim la'amod. Even the most perfect person cannot stand. Ukvar tamu eichi tachin ze. And everyone asks, how could such a thing be possible? How could it be possible to stand where the perfectly righteous can't stand? The perfectly righteous never committed a sin. So how could it be that the person who committed a sin, now, okay, he did tshuva for his sin, but now he's higher than the one who never failed? How is this fair? Maybe the explanation is as follows. Maybe the answer is, T'chol Baal Tshuva, every Baal Tshuva od boin olav listim l'fanav uza'evim l'acharav. Every Baal Tshuva If I did a sin, I spoke Lashon Hara about somebody else. That means I failed in my war. And now I do tshuva for it, I regret it. But now I'm sitting with my friends and they say, oh, Zev, tell us something. Tell us about so-and-so. Tell us about what you know. Something juicy, something exciting. It's very hard. I already failed in this war once. I have enemies in front of me. I have wolves behind me. About tshuva is someone who has already sinned. If I said Lashon Hara in the past, I was made popular for a second by sharing some juicy piece of gossip. Now I'm sitting with those same friends and I want to impress them again and they say, Nu, tell us. It's very difficult. I've already committed this sin. I'm attacked by so many urges. I have such a desire to just say it again. So what happens? I'm in battle. Haken Hashem Yisbarach Berov Rachma Bagbio Lamala. So God in His compassion picks me up. He puts me on His shoulder and He starts fighting with my enemies. The same way Rashi says that when God takes us and God leads us, sometimes we're attacked from the front and attacked from the back, so God puts us on His shoulder and He fights for us. The same way that's true when we were in the desert and we had Paro behind us and we had all the other enemies attacking us. That's also true spiritually. The evil urge attacks us, and the Baal Tshuva's defenses are lower. So God picks up the Baal Tshuva and He protects him. Makom she'en yad kochos hachitzonim sholetes. God picks us up to a place where the forces of evil can't touch. Now, that may be the difference between the Baal Tshuva and the Tzaddik. L'uma she'tzadikim, whereas the Tzaddik, who has never given in to sin, Mutav lefneim sheyamdu b'kishvei hamelchama neged kol hanitzirim uvazeh yisgadu v'yisgadash shem shamayim b'yoser. Whereas the tzaddik, he's never sinned. His defenses have held. The evil urges attacked him with missiles, with shells, with cannons, but his defenses have held. The walls are still strong. That's a tremendous sanctification of God's name. It's a tremendous sanctification of God's name when we all sit down around the table and someone says, Nu, Zev, let's hear something about somebody else. And I say, no, you know, I don't say Lashon Hara. That's a tremendous sanctification of God's name. When we all sit, when a group sits down around the table and a person suddenly realizes, oh, it's Friday night, he had to make one phone call, he knows, he has an inside tip that stock that he holds, you know, so much of is about to crash. He has to make that one call to the broker to sell it. He forgot to make the call. Oh, it's just a couple minutes later. Maybe he'll pick up the phone, make a call. Tzaddik doesn't do it. He doesn't make the call. That's a tremendous sanctification of God's name, that he overcomes the urges and he doesn't do it to sanctify God's name. But about Shuva, 20 times out of 21 has already made that call. So now he did Shuva. He said he's not going to do it anymore. It's very hard for him. It's much harder than the Tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Baal Tshuva, I'm going to pick you up. You're not going to have to struggle. I'm going to put you on my shoulder. I'm going to fight for you. Whereas the Tzaddik, Hashem says, keep struggling because you're sanctifying my name more through your struggle. You're revealing me even more with the struggle. That's what it means that where the Baal Tshuva stands, the perfect Tzaddik can't stand. God picks up the Baal Tshuva to a level, to a very high place where no one else can stand, where no one else can reach.
All right, better to be asked though. If the Baal Teshuva just does one act of Teshuva, whereas the Tzaddik has done everything, does that come anywhere near being the Tzaddik? Let's say, for example, if he decides, okay, on Friday night, I'm just not going to touch the electricity, but everything else is okay. Or he says, you know what, I'm just going to not say Lashon Hara from now on, and I keep every rule of Lashon Hara, but on Shabbat I'll keep continued breaking it. Does that qualify for just that act or not? Does it take you up?
It could be. It could be. We don't know. It certainly could be.
What do you think the Shem Shmo refers to as Baal Teshuva?
I think he's addressing the following question, basically, and this is basically his answer. His question is, and this is a question that the Katzke Rebbe was asked, doesn't make sense. okay, one person, 70 years, was fighting with his evil urge, and somehow he kept overcoming it. The other person for 70 years gave in. He ate non-kosher, he violated Shabbos, he cheated in business. He gave in, he did all the sins, he was selfish for 70 years. At the end of 70 years, this person who was selfish says, I'm terrible, I feel terrible, how can I do this? How could I have done this? What happened to me? And he does tshuva, real tshuva. I was wrong, I sinned, I could do it over again, I wouldn't do it. And he does tshuva. And he dies 3 days later. And the tzaddik dies 3 days later. He spent 1 week in service of God. The other one spent 70 years in a week in service of God. How could you say that the Baal Tshuva is higher? That's his question. How does it make any sense? How could it be that a Baal Tshuva is higher than a perfect tzaddik? How could it be? The Gemara says it, but how could it be? So the Katzke Rebbe used to say, it doesn't mean that he's higher. It says that where he stands, the tzaddik can't stand. He's different. Different doesn't necessarily mean higher. He's a different category. That's the Katzke Rebbe's answer. The tzaddik doesn't want to be in that category. The tzaddik is happy to be a tzaddik, and the Baal Tshuva is happy to be a Baal Tshuva. But where the Baal Tshuva is, the tzaddik won't reach. On the other hand, the Baal Tshuva is not reaching where the tzaddik is reaching. That's what the Katzke Rebbe used to say. So the Shemi Shmuel, who's the grandson of the Katzke Rebbe, he's clearly coming from that tradition, he's fleshing that out more. He's a suggestion, an approach. And what does it mean that the Baal Tshuva is in a special place, that the tzaddik's not at that place? Maybe the Baal Tshuva is in a place where he's not challenged as much because he failed. So God has compassion. He knows he's trying. God says, okay, you're not going to be challenged as much. It was a real Tshuva, so I'm going to pick you up. I'll put you on my shoulders. Now the Tzaddik's not on God's shoulders. The Tzaddik is on a lower level. But that lower level is better because that lower level entails much more work. And you always get reward according to the degree of the work. It's a greater sanctification of God's name when someone does something which is much more difficult. You know, for a person, as another example of this concept, that what's more difficult is a greater sanctification of God's name. You have one person who grows up surrounded with holiness and with service of God. Okay, so someone like this, for him to stay loyal to God, it's special, but it's not so unbelievable. Where somebody else didn't grow up with it, and someone else didn't know it, and he's surrounded with his friends and his chevra, none of them are doing it, and he says, you know what, I'm going to serve God. That's a greater sanctification of God's name than the fellow who had it easy his whole life, because it's harder. It's much harder to pull away from all your friends and say, you know what, I'm different. I'm not doing it anymore. I serve God. God told me I can't do it. I can't do it. Whatever is harder is certainly a greater sanctification of God's name. And the mission in life is to sanctify God's name. So the Shemi Shmuel is saying that Tzaddik, he is sanctifying God's name more than the Baal Tshuva, because he's always struggling. But the Baal Tshuva is in a place where the Tzaddik isn't, because God picks up the Baal Tshuva and puts him on his shoulders. The Tzaddik might be in God's arms. God might be hugging the Tzaddik. But the Baal Tshuva is riding on God's shoulders. Because it's so hard for the Baal Tshuva, because he's failed so many times. He says, God, I need your help, please. I says, it's okay. Fine. I'll pick you up. I'll put you on my shoulders. I'll fight for you. You won't have the same challenges. Maybe that's the meaning of where the Baal Tshuva stands. So it could be in each, you know, if somebody's a Baal Tshuva in one aspect of their life, it could be that in that aspect of their life, God is putting them on his shoulders. But even so, the Shemi Shmuel is still arguing that the tzaddik is greater in that aspect, because the tzaddik, he may not be on as high a spiritual level, but he's working harder, and that ultimately is more meaningful to God. The more you work, the harder it is, the greater it is.
At what stage is it referring to being put on the shoulders? In the future world, or as he goes through becoming Baal Teshuva?
I know
it's just symbolic, but...
I don't know if it's as you go through Baal Tshuva. I think what the Shemi Shmuel is suggesting, that someone who is a true Baal Tshuva, someone who truly does Tshuva, and Tshuva is not easy to do, to truly recognize that we sinned, to admit it, that we were wrong. I once had a teacher in eighth grade who said something that I still remember. He said, it's easier to say you're right than to say I'm wrong. I'm having an argument with somebody and someone says this. For me to say you're right is easier for me than to say I'm wrong and you're right. It's very hard for us to admit that we're wrong. But that's the first step of tshuva. The first step of tshuva is to say, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, I sinned, I'm wrong, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. And then to say, I regret it. Somebody who says, I heard this from another teacher, said, you know, I did wild things when I was younger, but it was good, I got it out of my system. You know, now I don't do those things. That's not yet tshuva. It's good that he got it out of his system. But real tshuva is to say, I'm embarrassed by what I did. I'm ashamed. I don't want to tell anybody. I'm embarrassed by it. I feel terrible that I did it. It hurts me that I did this. You know, that's the other part. I was wrong, and I feel terrible about it. Not that I'm happy that I did it. You know, I enjoyed it then, and now I'm enjoying something else. That's not yet tshuva. Tshuva is, I was wrong. I'm embarrassed. I feel terrible. I'm never going to do it again. I promise I'm not going to do it again. That's tshuva. So a person who does real tshuva, the Shem Yishmul is saying, he prays. Sometimes Hashem picks him up. He says, you know what, you're not going to have the challenge anymore. You'll be on my shoulders.
Most of the time you see, I mean, from the example that I see, that the hurdles become so difficult. As soon as you become Baal Teshuva, you know, things start, like your business starts going bad. And, you know, you see that all the time. People, I mean, a lot of people have their faith and they go through it, Baruch Hashem. But a lot of people, it's just unbelievable. They say, you know, this week we became Shomer Shabbat. Oh, I had a car accident and my leg broke, you know, the same day.
Sure. Look, Hashem challenges us. I don't think the Shem Yishmul is saying it in terms of life. He's saying it in terms of the area where a person failed. That sometimes in that area, you know, in the sense of tshuva being that I used to, you know, say I speak Lashon Hara and I do tshuva for Lashon Hara. So maybe sometimes that where the Baal Tshuva stands, Hashem says, you're on my shoulders now, you're not going to be challenged with that. Because you can't succeed in the challenge. But the tzaddik, he can still succeed in the challenge. He's still there. He's still on that level. Rav Nachman of Breslov says something very powerful. Rav Nachman of Breslov says, many times a person goes through a period of spiritual growth, and then suddenly things are terrible. And he starts saying, why is this? Maybe my spiritual growth was wrong. Maybe I wasn't sincere. What's going on? Maybe I should go back to sin. Nachman says that we don't realize that perhaps the reason why it's terrible is because we have to get to a whole new world. When God created the world, it says in Bereshis, the world was tohu vavohu, it was confusion, it was bedlam, v'choshech al pnei tohom, in darkness, and then there was a world. There are stages of life. We go from world to world. When we go from one world to the next world, in between each world is tohu vavohu. So if I'm in one world, and now God's telling me it's time for me to reach another world, I have to go through a process of tohu vavohu. I have to go through a process where everything's falling apart, crisis. It's not because what was bad. I have to go to a whole new level, a whole new higher world. But to get to that world, I have to go through the gates, and the gates of that world are tohu vavohu. So if I start saying, oh, what I've done till now is bad, or I should go back to sin, I'm missing the whole point. I climbed up 5 rungs on the ladder. Now it's time to climb from rung 6 to rung 10. But from rung 5 to rung 6, there's tohu vavohu, there's confusion. What am I going to do? I'm going to go down to rung number 1. I'm missing the whole point, to get off the ladder entirely. Now's the time for me to get up to rung number 10. I have to climb through tohu vavohu to become a whole new world. I'm being pushed to a whole new level, to a whole new approach, to become a whole new person. That's Rav Nachman of Breslov says. We don't even know. Sometimes Hashem is pushing us to a whole new world, to discover within ourselves abilities that we never knew we had, to reach a whole new level. Every challenge is really to find within ourselves new levels and new understandings, new strengths. It should be very strong, strong strengths. Hashem challenges us to bring out tremendous abilities that we didn't even know that we had. That's what Nachman says. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the soul came into this world to struggle. We didn't come into this world to have it easy. God put us into this world that we should struggle with our evil urge and try to do the right thing. That's why we're here. If God wanted it for us to be easy, He'd leave us in the Garden of Eden. He would never put us down in this world. If God put us into this world, He put the soul into the body, and the body pulls one way, and the soul pulls another way. It's because we're supposed to struggle. We're here to struggle. So the tzaddik who's struggling and succeeding in the struggle, he is the ideal, really. But he's not at the spiritual level of the Baal Tshuva, because God picked the Baal Tshuva up to the point which is above struggle. God picked the Baal Tshuva up to a whole new world. Ach Baal Tshuva, Baalei Tshuva, Shekvar Nichshelu Bechet, Baalei Tshuva have already failed with the sin. So Dai Sheyafkiu Es Atmo Yidei Shemagbiim Osam Kanal. It's enough. God will pick them up out of the realm of struggle in their area. They've failed so many times in this area, so God picks them up from this area of struggle and puts them on His shoulders. Says the Sheni Shmuel, let's understand what this means based on Kabbalah. Kabbalah teaches us, the deeper wisdom of Torah teaches us, that our world is a world of seven. 7 days of the week, seven great ushtizen, seven guests who come to visit us, our sukkahs, seven clouds of glory in the desert. It's a world of seven. Why seven? Because there are seven different ways in which a person can understand a little bit about God. When we see God's kindness, we can understand a little bit about God. Rachel Maron, whom I mentioned before, she told me, I've lived miracles. You have to believe in miracles. I've lived miracles. To run out of Auschwitz, it's a miracle. To find in a German slave labor camp, that punked in that camp, there should be a woman in the kitchen who was a guest in my parents' home, and that she should steal every day a piece of bread. She's risking her life every day. Every day to steal a piece of bread to keep me alive, it's a miracle. I was sick and I was carried by others, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. You live miracles. So you can see God through miracles, through kindness. You can see God through strictness. You can see sometimes a tremendous disaster. And you say, it doesn't make any sense by human comprehension how there could be such a disaster. Only God can make such a disaster. Obviously, there's a God in this world, and you're afraid of God. You can see God through beauty. You can see God through the fact that there is an eternity, that Jewish people keep surviving no matter what. You can see God when you meet a very humble person. You can see God when you see someone who puts together the physical and the spiritual. There are many ways to see God. But in general, there are seven ways to see God. Or God reveals himself with seven attributes, with seven midos. And those are represented by the 7 days of the week, the seven spheros. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. And that's this world. But the truth is, the Torah tells us that God created the world with 10 statements. The Kabbalists say that the 10 statements are really 10 spheros. 3 levels of godliness. 3 ways of seeing God that we usually don't see in this world. It's very hard to see in this world. They don't belong to this world. They're of another world. They're called Chachma Bin Adas. They really don't belong to this world. They're on another level. It says the Sheni Shmuel, the forces of evil, whether you call it Esav or Yetzer Hara, whatever you call it, that's in this world. When you get above this world, the level that's above this world, there's no evil. The level that's above this world, there's no desires to do evil, there's no distractions, there's no frustrations. The level above this world, the level of eight, call it the level of the world to come, call it Gan Eden, whatever we want to call it. The level above this world is a place where there's just holiness. Right? What do we say? In the world to come, what does the Rambam tell us, according to Midrash? The world to come, there's no eating, there's no drinking. The righteous are sitting, surrounding God, and enjoying the glory of God's presence. In other words, it's a world where there's no desires for anything other than God's presence. It's a world of holiness. It's a world of the ideal. It's the world of eight. Seven represents this world. Eight represents what's beyond this world. Says the Sheni Shmuel, V'nei Yadua, it's known. Shekochos hachitzonim v'kitrugim, the external forces, those who would say evil about the Jews, Olim rakat keneged zroos olam. They only reach the arms of the world. In other words, they only reach the seven spheros. It's only in this world, in the world of seven, that there is evil. Umisham lamalahu olam acherus. But once you get to the level of eight, that's called the world of freedom. The level of eight is called the world of freedom. Alkein ba'alei tshuva mashchin luhu b'chela yatir. The Zohar says the Baal Tshuva is pulled with added strength. Umagbiin osam lamala rosh. They're lifted up to a very high level. Beriga chada v'shata chada. In 1 second, in 1 moment, v'yidei zem yitzolim. That's how they're saved. Zeh makom shabalei tshuva omlim. That's where the Baal Tshuva stand. In other words, The Baal Tshuva is connecting to the world of eight. What's an example of a Baal Tshuva? It's a story that I mentioned last year. The Gemara says about Rav Elazar ben Dordaya. The Gemara says that Elazar ben Dordaya went to every single house of ill repute in the Middle East. He traveled up and down the coast of the Mediterranean, visiting every brothel. And then he heard that there was a prostitute far in the ocean, in an island. It was very expensive. He hadn't gone to her. So he traveled out to her. He was with her. In the middle of the act, he released something from his body. And she said, the same way what comes out of your body doesn't go back in. Elazar ben Dordaya left God. There's no way he can go back to God. He said, what? I can't go back to God. So he pulled out. And he went and he sat down between the mountains. And he said, mountains, pray for me. And the mountains said, we can't pray for you. We need to pray for ourselves. He said, heaven and earth, pray for me. Heaven said, we can't pray for you. We need to pray for ourselves. The earth said, we need to pray for ourselves. Stars, pray for the stars. We need to pray for ourselves. He said, it's only up to me. He put his head between his knees, started crying and crying and crying, and he died while crying. A voice came out of heaven. Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya is a portion of the world to come. When Rebbe heard the story, Rebbe started crying. Some people accomplish, they acquire their world in one moment, and others acquire their world many, many years. And there's Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya, in one moment, went up to heaven. In one moment, he was lifted up. But notice, he died. The Sheni Shmuel, that's the example in front of the Sheni Shmuel. Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya is the Baal Tshuva whom God takes out of the points of challenge. He doesn't stay in this world. God took him out of the world of challenge. But it was a real Tshuva. He was crying and begging God, please forgive me. I'm embarrassed by what I did. I feel terrible. I wasted my life. I sinned to you. Forgive me, God, please. And in one second, God lifts him up to where? To the world of freedom. To a place where there's no longer any challenge. To the place of the Baal Tshuva. In one second. Why? Because a world that's above this world came in. A spirit from another place. A spirit from the world of freedom. A spirit from the level of eight. From the world of Yovel. Of the 50th year. It came and it lifted Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya. It said, you're forgiven. And it said, you're not going to be challenged anymore. You're not going to be challenged. You're in another place. You're not going to be challenged. Says the Sheni Shmuel, that's Makom Shebaal Tshuva only. The Baal Tshuva is standing in the world of the level of eight. He's standing in a world that's above this world. That's why it's a place that even the perfectly righteous don't stand. The perfectly righteous are in the world of the seven spheros. The perfectly righteous are members of this world. And every Yetzer Hara on the evil earth says, do this, do that. But they're fighting and they're succeeding. So God says, keep fighting. But the Baal Tshuva failed 1,000 times. 1,000 times. He knew he shouldn't speak Lashon Hara, and he spoke Lashon Hara 1,000 times. And now he's really regretting it. He feels terrible. But God says, okay, I'm going to bring you to a new world, a world of eight. So you're higher than the tzaddik. You're in a world of eight. You're not in the world of seven. But it's greater to be in the world of seven than to be in the world of eight. Hinei b'kilas Yaakov. The Kilas Yaakov writes, Hevi b'shem Zohar HaKadosh, he quotes the Holy Zohar, that the verse in the Torah says, Bereshis in the beginning, Mimekomo, from his place, Da Shechinta Ilah, this is the Shechina above. V'shem Sefer HaMagad LaBeis Yosef, of Yosef Karo writes, the Gimel Sfiros HaRishonos, the first three Sfiros, Chachman Bina V'das, Ikri Makom, are called place. Whenever it says, HaMakom Yinachem Eschem, the place should console you, it's saying you should get consolation from a level that's above this world. This world has been very tough to you. You've suffered a loss. You've suffered the loss of your father. You've suffered the loss of your mother, Chas V'Shalom. You've suffered the loss of a relative or a child. HaMakom Yinachem. HaMakom means Chachma Bina V'Das. It means that that which is above this world should console you. You should be blessed with a little bit of light from a level which is above this world. A light from a whole new world should come, and that'll give you consolation. Whenever it says, HaMakom, the place, it means that which is above this world. It means Chachma Bina Vadas. So if the Zohar says Bereshis means Mimakomo, from his place, it means in the beginning when God created, in the beginning, before this world, it's the level of Chachma Bina Vadas. Now listen carefully to the words of the Gemara. Bimakom Shabale Tshuva Omdin Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholam La'amod. Bimakom, in the place, a Baal Tshuva is on the level of the first three Sefiros. A Baal Tshuva is being brought up to that place which is above this world. And the Tzadik's not there. The Tzadik's in this world. The Baal Tshuva goes above this world. V'alkein lefi darkeinu muvan shemakom shebaalei tshuva omdim, the place where the Baal Tshuva stands, hu lemaala mizros olam kanal, it's above this world. Now says the Shem Yishmuel, every concept exists in model form. In other words, there might be, we talk about a tzaddik, we talk about a Baal Tshuva. It could be that part of me is a tzaddik, and part of me is a Baal Tshuva. It could be that when it comes to the sin of, Shabbos, I'm a tzaddik, I've always kept Shabbos. Or maybe the sin of kashrus, I'm a tzaddik, I've always kept kashrus. But when it comes to the sin of lashon hara, or the sin of not being nice to others, maybe in that area I'm a Baal Tshuva. To be different parts of my being. So, am I entirely in this realm which is above this world? No, but maybe a part of me is, and a part of me is not. And the same is true, you can have something which is partially above this world and partially in this world. Therefore, Zehu Inyan Sukkah Acha Yom Kippur. This is Sukkah after Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we all did Tshuva. Yisrael Heim B'mayit Regas Bali Tshuva. On Sukkot, we have a little bit of the level of a Baal Tshuva. That with God, we're so sorry for all of our sins for the last year. So God puts us into the realm of a Baal Tshuva for a week. The same way God pulls the Baal Tshuva with a lot of strength, on Sukkot, God's pulling us with a lot of strength. What is the Sukkah a memory of? A Sukkah is the memory of the fact that we followed God into the desert. What does it say in the Song of Songs? Mashcheni acharecha narutza. We say to God, God, pull us. We'll follow you. Sukkot is when he says, follow me. I'm pulling you. Come out of the house. Follow me. Go out of your world. Go to a whole new world. Heviyani hamelech hadarav. As it says in the Song of Songs, God brought me into his chambers. The king brought me into his private room. It's the yichud room. The sukkah is the yichud room after the chuppah. God is bringing us into the room. Shehi ha-sukkah. This is the sukkah. The sukkah really is the light of Bina. Bina is called in the Zohar Ima Ila'a, the ultimate mother. Ima de mesacheches al banin, the mother that is the canopy hovering over the children. The sukkah is in the language of Chabad, is an or makif, a light that's so high we cannot internalize it. It's above us. It's the light of Bina. It's the light of eight. It's the light of the world that's above seven. We enter into the sukkah. It's the level of makom shabale tshuva omdin. We go into the sukkah. We're going into God's world. We're going into God's room. We sinned. We did tshuva on Yom Kippur. So God says, now I'm taking you in. You're going to be on my shoulders for a week. Then you can go back into the world. But now you're going to be on my shoulders for a week with no challenges. You're going to be in the sukkah. When we go into the sukkah, we should appreciate the unbelievable holiness that's in the sukkah. Having the privilege of going into God's room. The privilege of following God, running after God. The privilege of being on God's shoulders. Where in the sukkah, we should be so happy, so thankful. What a merit, what a tremendous privilege to be in the place of Baalei Tshuva, to be on God's shoulders. And hopefully we should all merit to appreciate a little bit of Sukkot.
Amen.